Before we begin the parak, just it's kedai, I think, to look at the psukim that we're going to be talking about, just to get a better understanding of like what's happening. For the last parak we spoke about Cain and Hevel, and Cain killed Hevel, and then Hashem made a gzera that Cain is going to be a wanderer or going around, not living in a specific place. And Cain did quasi tshuva, and some of his gzera was taken away, but most of it stayed. That Cain is going to be like that. And we also spoke about how Cain was a descendant of the Nachash, not necessarily straight from Adam and Chava, but also had to do with like the Samuel and the Nachash. Okay, so we're looking at Parshas Bereishis, Perek Dalet, from Psukim Yud. Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud. Let's say I start from Pasuk Yud Zayin. Right, after the story where Cain goes out and becomes a wanderer, so it says that Cain knew his wife, and she gave birth to sonim Chanoich, and Chanoich was Vayhi Boina Ir, Rashi says, is it talking about Cain built a city, Cain became a builder, and he built a city, and he called the name of the city Chanoich, after the name of his son Chanoich, right? Pashtus, maybe it means that Cain himself didn't live there, he just built it and then he went on, because he's not allowed to live anywhere specific, he's supposed to be a wanderer. And then Chanoich had a son called Irad had a son called Mechuyael, and Mechuyael had a son Mesushael, and Mesushael had a son Lamech, and Lamech had two wives, Ada and Sila, and we know the whole story, that one wife was supposed to have children, one wife wasn't supposed to have children, but the Maizel ended up that both wives had children. So his first wife, Ada, had a son, Yovel, who Avi Yeshev Oyel Miknet. He was the first person to dwell in tents with flock. And Rashi explains it. He was the first person to have a flock of sheep, and he would go with his flock wherever they needed pasture. He would go with them and he would live there. He would be like a nomad. He was the first person that did that. He would build a tent there, and then when they finished all the food there, they would go to a different place, etc. So this guy, Yovel, he was the first guy that did that.
Question. Hevel.
Oh, so we're going to speak about that in a few moments. Ada, the wife of Lamech, had another son named Yuval, and he was the first person to have a kinar and ugav. There's a different musical instrument. The kinar is a harp, but ugav is I don't remember what ugav is. You know what ugav is? Flute? No, I don't remember what ugav is. So he was the first person with the kinar and the ugav. And then Lamech's other wife, Tzila, she also gave birth. She was the one that wasn't supposed to give birth, but she ended up giving birth. She had a son, Tuval Kayan. He was Leitish, Kol Cheresh, Nechesh, of Varzel. He was the first, like, metalsmith, copper and bronze. He was the first guy. But Achais Tuval Kayan Nama. And the sister of Tuval Kayan was Nama, so they also had a daughter named Nama. The Shaila that everyone asks is, why is this lady Nama mentioned over here? It's like, what Shaychas? Who is she? Fine. And then there's a whole story with Lamech and his wife that they were having some shalom bayis problems, etc. And then two psukim later it says, and Adam went back to his wife, and he gave birth, and vateled bein, she gave birth to him, vatikra shmei Shais, and she called his name Shais. And kishot le'alikim zera acher, tachas hevel ki harogai kain. Because Hashem provided me with other children after instead of Hevel, because Cain killed Hevel. And then it says that Shais had a son named Enosh. And in the time of Enosh, that's when they started doing Avodah Zarah. Period. That's the end of the parak. Parak Hey is sort of like a new beginning again. Zeh Sefer told us Adam. This is the book of the generations of Adam. B'yayim b'ra l'kim Adam b'duos l'kim asoy. So on the day that Hashem created man, Hashem created Adam Rishon in the dmus of Hashem. In the dmus l'kim asoy. So Zohar and the cave of Abraham, Hashem created a male and female, by Yvoyachesam, Hashem blessed them, by Yikashem Adam, he called them collectively mankind, B'yayim Hiboram on the day that they were, and the animal says, and Adam was 130 years old when he gave birth, Vayolid Bidmusli Kitsama, he gave birth to his form and to his shadow, Vayikras Shmai Shais, he called his name Shais. So it's interesting that a few psukim ago when it talked about the birth of Shais, it says, she gave birth and she called him. And here by Adam, by Shais, when in the Sefer told us Adam, it's saying that he gave birth to Shais, Kilu, Kibiyachol, right? And he called the name Shais. And then rather than Shais, and then Adam lived for 800 years after he gave birth to Shais, etc., etc. Then it goes, Shes had a son, Enosh, Enosh had a son, Canaan, etc., 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 all the way going down, 10 generations, till the end of the parak, it goes all the way down to Noach and Noach's three sons. That's basically parak Hay in a nutshell. Fine. Now let's see what the Medrash says. Because the Lizard Parakhov Bay's in the beginning. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayichi Odom Shleshim Umaas Shana Vayeled Bidmuse Ketzamoy. It was, this is the Pasuk, it was when Adam was 130 years old and he gave birth to, in his Dmus and in his Tzalim, in his form and in his shadow. And that's talking about the birth of Shais. Mikanat Olomed Shloi Haya Kain Mizaroi Vloimid Musay Vloimid Tzalmash Adam. From here you learn that Kain was not from the seed of Adam Rishon, and not from the form of Adam Rishon, and not from the shadow of Adam Rishon. Because only here it says, by the birth of Sheis, it says, Vayeled Bidmusa Ketzamai. It doesn't say that by Cain, because Cain wasn't. As we said in the previous parak, that Cain was really from also from the, either also from the Nachash, or Dafka from the Nachash, Nachash and Chava. It wasn't necessarily just from Adam Rishon. Yeah, we said that last week, that it was last week or 2 weeks ago, there was the, from the Rikanti in Parshas Bereishis, that it could be it was a mixture, that because it doesn't, he says like it doesn't make sense that like just the zera of a nachash and a woman could create a person. So like he said like it's also some sort of mixture exactly. I'm not sure exactly how it works out, but Uncle Panim, that's the vote. And the Radal says, besides the fact that it says bidmusa ketzamai, also here it says dafka by the birth of Sheis, it says vayoled, the Adam Rishon gave birth. Mashenke by Cain, and by Cain it says Vatahar Vatelid, she gave birth. And also it says over here by Sheis, Vayikra Shemay Sheis, that he called the name Sheis. But by Cain it just says Vatomer Konisi Isha Sashem. So this is why we see that Sheis is different than Cain. V'lay Maisev Domin La Maisev Heve Ochiv. And the deeds of Sheis are not similar to the deeds the deeds of Cain are not similar to the deeds of Hevel. The Mepharshim say that Hevel was a tzaddik gomer, but Cain was not. Until Sheis was born, and he was from the seed of Adam Rishon and from the form of Adam Rishon. And the actions of Sheis were similar to the actions of Hevel Achiv, who was a tzaddik gomer. Shemar says, "Suppose I've a yelad bidmusa ketzamar." But so one question over here, I think it's like a shtickle obvious question over here. We said that Cain wasn't bidmusa ketzamar of Adam Rishon until, but Sheis was. The shaila is, what about Hevel? We didn't mention anything about Hevel over here. You said Cain not, and Hevel yet. So like you could bring rayas both ways. It's like the Radal says that, because it says by Cain it says that she gave birth, and by Sheis it says he gave birth. So if you look at Hevel, it says that she gave birth by Hevel. Vatesiv Loledes es Ochiv es Hevel. Right? Fine. So that sounds like Hevel was also not Bidmusa Vitzalmai of Adam Rishon. If you look at the Kriyas Hashem, so the Radal says that by Adam, by Cain, it says Vatomer Kanis Isha Hashem, that she gave the name of Cain, and by Sheis it says it really says it in the Pesukim twice, once he gave it and once she gave it. But there's a point that it says that he gave the name of Sheis. So Sheis was not was kashur to Adam Rishon, but Musaf et Salmai. What about Hevel? Well, if you look in the Torah, it never says that Hashem, it never says anything about giving the name Hevel. It just says he was born as Hevel. But it doesn't say anything about someone was born and they called him Hevel. It never says that. There's different reasons why it doesn't say that. Because Hevel was going to be killed, so usually the Chuvas Rajba, interestingly, in Chelik Dalet Simon Lamed, says that he's actually speaking about different things in Parshas Bereishis. But he says that when it talks about Kriyas Shem, giving a name to something, that refers to the fact that that thing is going to last. Something when the Torah says that they give something a name, it means that it's going to last. But Hevel, so you could say that Hevel, since he died with, you know, very quickly, so the Torah didn't bother speaking out why his name was named Hevel, because it wasn't a get to talk about giving him a name because he wasn't permanent. He was only temporary.
The Torah also wasn't hevel, meaning haval of olim, as we said.
So the Pir Sharan al Torah says basically something like that. They're like, he's like nothing because like he died basically, you know, not long after he was born. But okay, so that's on the one hand, if you want to discuss with what Adal says, the Rabbi Liomi Izvir on the page over here says that no, it sounds like Hevel Taka wasn't Bidmusa Vitzalmai of Adam Rishon, because we're saying Cain wasn't until Shais. So who's from Cain till Shais is also including Hevel. So Hevel was also not Bidmusa Vitzalmai. So he says, why not? You know, Hevel was a tzaddik, so and we know that Hevel was a tzaddik, so what's the problem? Why wasn't Hevel b'dmus of itzalmai of Adam Rishon? So he says that because Hevel was born together with Cain, so Hashem wouldn't make it, even though Hevel wasn't born from the Zera of the Nachash, only Cain was, but since they were born together, they were in the same, let's say in the same gestation, they were in the same pregnancy, so Hashem didn't want to make it that Hevel would have the Dmus of Itzalmai of Adam Rishon. Just because there was somebody who for sure wasn't with him, so Hashem didn't want it, even though he didn't have the same Pagam as Cain. That's what Rabbi Yomi Izra says. Of course, I point out that that's only true if you learn that they were twins. If you learn that Cain was born and then Hevel was born, so then what's the problem? But the MS is like this. The MS is that the Marsha really asks this question. The Marsha in Erevin Yod Chesem at Beis, he brings this Pirkei de Eliezer. He says, what about Hevel? Was Hevel b'tmusiv etzalmai of Adam Rishon or not? And he says, no, the Medrash said Cain not, and Shais, yeah, what about Hevel? So the Marsha says, yeah, the Medrash didn't have to speak about Hevel because we know that Shais is a Gilgul of Hevel. We spoke last week that Shais was a Gilgul of Hevel. We mentioned that Moshe is Reshit Tevis. Moshe is Reshit Tevis. Moshe, Shais, Hevel. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgul of Shais and Hevel, and Shais and Hevel are Gilgulim of each other. That's the same Sheresh and Shama. Yeah, you missed a good one. But the point is that Shais is a Gilgul of Hevel. So Mimela, we didn't have to speak out that Hevel was born with Musav Itzalmai of Adam Rishon, because if we're saying that Shais was, so Mimela Hevel was, because it's the same thing. And we know that the lashon of the pasuk is Kishosli Elikim Zera Acher Tachas Hevel, instead of Hevel, that Shais is instead of Hevel. It's like Hevel died and then Shais came like in place of Hevel. He's taking his role in the world. So that makes sense that he's a Gilgul.
Is that why Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says
I heard, could be. So his brother Hevel.
I thought he was talking about Adam. He's the same as Adam.
He's
in the Musa of Adam. It doesn't say that. He's in the Musa of Hevel.
Well, no, here we're talking about his actions. Like, did he do good things or bad things?
That should be referring to Adam, but it's not. It's referring to Hevel.
No. That's for sure talking about Adam Rishon, because it says Vayoled. It's talking about Adam Rishon Vayoled Bidmusa
Vitzamai. Then why does it say Hevel?
No, because it's saying that once we know that Shais was born Bidmusa Vitzamai of Adam Rishon, so we know that he was a tzaddik. So then you would say that his Maisim were diamond to the Maisim of Hevel, his brother, who was also a tzaddik.
Which implies that Hevel
was also Bidmusa Vitzamai. Okay, I hear. The Amos says there's another Marsha about this. This is a shtickle, interesting Marsha. Yivam Staf Samach Gimel Malach. The Gemara says, "Call Adam she'ein le'karka in the Nikra Adam." Any person who doesn't have land, that doesn't have a specific spot that like that's where he lives, that's where he's kavua, he's not called a man. That's what the Gemara says. So somehow, I don't know why or where he saw this, but somehow the Marsha understood that that's what our Medrash is talking about over here. That what does it mean? Bitmusa Vitzamai of Adam Rishon. It means that are you called a man that you have a land or you don't have a land? Say Cain. He's saying Cain, who has the gzeir of Nov and Nod, and he's supposed to be a nomad and travel around for the rest of his life. So he's ein lo karka. So he's not called Adam. He's not Bitmusa Vitzamai. That's how he understands what the Medrash is saying. But Shais was. That's what he said, because Shais was able to have a makom kavua in the world. So the question is like this: what about Hevel? Right. If this is what I'm just talking about, having kavua dik land, so the question is, okay, so did Hevel have a kavua dik land or not? Is he kedmusa vitzalmai or not? So that goes back to what I was reading before. We know that Hevel was a shepherd, right? So being a shepherd, you would understand that that means that he didn't have a kavod to galan, right? But we just said that it says in the pasuk that by the descendants of Cain, one of them was named Yovel, who avi yeshev ayel mikna. He was the first one sitting in tents and flock. And Rashi says, who haya harishin l'raye behemais b'midbaris. He was the first one to have his animals graze in the wilderness. V'yeshev ahalim chadash chidishkan. And V'yeshev ahalim chidishkan. And he was the first one to be mechadash the inyan of tents. B'shvil v'chidishkan b'shvil mira tzoynay. And he was mechadash it because of for the pasture of his flock. Whenever they finished grazing over here, so then he would pick up his tent and move and go elsewhere. Right? So that sounds like he was the first one that did that. This guy Yovel was the first guy that did that. It sounds like Hevel, who was before him. I just noticed that Hevel and Yovel are very similar words, but Hevel, who was before him, sounds like he didn't do that. He was Taka Kavu in a place. So maybe he'll say that by the Marsha's rubric, Hevel Taka was Bidmus of Itzalma of Aldemishan. Not sure.
You're saying Yuval was.
Not Yovel. Yovel.
Yovel.
Yuval was the other guy. He was the Avi Kolkinar Vugav.
Because I just thought a shepherd does have a Kavua Makom. They just also go around the street all the time. They do have a
Kavua Makom. So you say at the end of the day they'll go
Abraham,
back to a certain
Abraham
house.
Was from Haran. Abraham lived in Hebron. He was a shepherd.
Could be.
They do also go around and they have.
The thing is, it could be it's both.
They have a
so it's not clear. It's not, at the end of the day, it's not really so clear. I mean, I would assume that Hevel was the same thing as Shase, that it's Kedus. It's not like Marshall says, but it's not so clear. Fine. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, this is a shtickle repeat. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, he says, Mishes follow b'seachsu kol abriyos v'chol daris atadikim. From Shes came out, or a miyuchas, or ascribed to Shes, all the briyos, all the people who are of creation v'chol daris atadikim. We'll focus on these two things in a moment. All the creation people who are of creation and all the generations of tzaddikim. U'mikayin olav b'seachsu kol daris harushoyim hapoishim amoydim shemordu b'mokim. And from Kayin were ascribed all the generations of the rishoyim who rebel and they dafka do averes and they rebel against Hashem. V'omru, and they say, for example, Einanu tzrichim l'tipos kishomecha, v'leladas estrochecha, we don't need the drop of your rain and we don't need to know your paths of Hashem. Shenemar, it says the pasuk, v'yomru lokel sur mimenu. They say to Hashem, to the powerful one, to Hashem, sur mimenu, remove yourself from us. And the Radal has an interesting chap over here. So how do we know that this pasuk in Eov, how do we know that it's talking about the descendants of Cain? It's not Mefurish in Eov that's what it's talking about. So if you look two psukim later, it's talking about these people that said sur, that said to Hashem sur mimenu. So it says about them, Yisu betuf v'chinor v'yismuchu l'kol ugav. These people, they sit around with their music and they're enjoying their music. Yisu betuf v'chinor, they have their toif and their chinor. Right, the drums and the harp, v'yismuchul kol ugav, and they're being happy with the ugav. Right, and we said that the person that made a kinor and a ugav was Yuval, the son of Lamech, the son of Cain, who was a descendant of Cain. So you see that this has something to do with the descendants of Cain. That's a shtickle remez that the Radal says that this pasuk is talking dafka about the descendants of Cain. Well, you have a look on your face.
The descendants of Cain, we're talking about biological descendants or spiritual descendants.
Here we're talking about biological descendants.
Because a lot of times when you say Zarek Cain, you don't know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because later on he's going to speak about the Nephilim, right? It's all the times.
Right. Like this.
It's Canaan, right? There it's obviously not them because they didn't survive the flood, right?
Well, okay, well, so we're gonna get to that. But Cain, the Radal at this point, actually in Ois Hay, he brings a Zohar in Parshas Acharemos, that the Zohar says that one kavana of what we're saying over here is that we'll say it like this. When we're saying over here is that when the Torah in Perek Hay in Sefer Bereishis is going through Zeh Sefer told us Adam, and it goes through all the generations from Adam, Shais, Enosh, Canaan, etc., 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 all the way down to Noach, 10 generations. So all 10 generations that are mentioned in the Torah, those are all tzaddikim, the direct patrilineal descent from Adam Rishon till Noach through Sheis, were all tzaddikim. That's what it means here. Oh, so the Radal says that, and according to this, it sounds like Enosh Taka was a tzaddik. So we spoke about before in Perek Yud Ches at the end of the Perek, if Enosh was a Rasha himself, or it was in the times of Enosh that they started Avodah Zarah, or Enosh himself was also from the people that started Avodah Zarah, because the Gemara in Shabbos brings up.
It's only the Machlokes in the Gemara, Sheis was the father of the whole thing, or just in that generation.
Right, because the Gemara brings the pasuk of Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zayis of Enadam Yachzik Bo. It says, even if you're Avodah Avodah Zarah, Kedor Yishel Enosh, but if you keep Shabbos, then you'll be okay. Your errors are going to be forgiven, right? So one gears of the Gemara is even if you're doing Avodah Zarah like the door of Enosh, and one gears says even if you're doing Avodah Zarah like Enosh, so that's the shail of Enosh was himself from Avodah Zarah. Masha Ein Kein, when we talk about all the people that are mentioned in the Torah as descendants of Cain, so the assumption is that those are all Rishonim. Right, we did mention descendants of Cain, not in the Sefer told us Adam, but in the end of Perek Dalet, it says that Cain had Chanoich, and Chanoich had Irad, Michuyael, Mesushael, Lamech, and all these the descendants of Lamech that were mentioned, etc. Right, that all these people that are mentioned from Cain are Rishon. And the Etz and the MS is that the Torah didn't really want to talk about the descendants of Cain B'chol. We didn't even want to talk about them. Or we're just focusing on the descendants of Sheis. That the Zeh Sefer told us to Adam that these are the generations of Adam. It's just descendants of Sheis. Why do we b'chlal talk about the descendants of Cain? So Radal says because each thing we have to mention because some certain people did certain things. We have to mention it all the way down to Lamech because Lamech's sons were important people. We said that Yovel was Avi Yeshev El Mikne. Yuval was Tavis. He was the one who was Mechadesh Kiner of Ugov. Tuval Kain was the first guy who smelted metals, and Achis Tuval Kain Nama, we haven't explained it yet, but for some reason she's also significant why she's mentioned over here. That's one Nukuda. The other Nukuda, the Radal brings from the Zayar and Pashas Achremais, that it's not just the descendants of Kain that are mentioned that we're saying are Rishon, but the Zayar says that all the Doris, all generations, whenever you have a Rasha, every Rasha has a bit of the Neshama of Cain in him. So every Rasha is somewhat Miyuchas to Cain. That's what the Zohar says. So it could be that that's also what the Medrash is referring to over here. These people that rebel against Hashem are in future generations are sort of spiritual descendants of Cain. But Pashapsha, we're talking about the literal descendants of Cain. That's one Nekuda. That's when the Radal is focusing on when we said that from the Sheis Olu V'Nesachzu, the Doris of Tzadikim. What does it mean, Olu V'Nesachzu Kol Abriyos? So that's something that Rabbi Felder was already trying to point out. That basically, by the Mabul, all the descendants of Cain were killed. Cain, it's Mochlik is when exactly Cain himself died, but for sure by the Mabul, Cain either died by the Mabul or before the Mabul, he was already dead. Right? So by the Mabul, all the descendants of Cain were wiped out. So anyone who's left, all people are descendants of Sheis. All of Nisachsu Kolabrias, all people are descendants of Sheis. Now then the Radal has a little footnote over here. The Radal says like this. And this, we're going to speak about this lady Nama, right? We said the sister of Tuval Kain, or the daughter of Lamech, her name was Nama. And the Shaila is, why is she mentioned over here? What's the significance of this lady Nama? So there's different mafarshim, they explain it. Targum Yonason says that the reason why she's mentioned is because she was also a chashav person. She was the first person to start singing elegies. Let's read the lashon of Targum Yonason is he has moras kinin vizimrin. She was the first person to sing kinin like kinois elegies and zimrin like songs. So that's why she's chashav. She's mentioned over here in the Chumash. And the Pirush Aran al-Torah says that it's true. But you know why the Torah didn't speak it out? because like it's not snus to speak about a woman singing or whatever, they're called Be'isha Erva, so we didn't want to speak it up beferish, but we have to mention her because she's still a chashuva, she's still an important, prominent individual in the history of the world. That's what the Pirush Ran says. That's Targum Yerushalmi. Actually, the Pirush Ran calls it Targum Yerushalmi, which is probably a more accurate description of what that Targum is. The Zohar famously talks about that Nama was the mother of Ashmodai, who the king of the Shadim, and then the different descendants of Shadim and Mazikim come from Nama, and she was like evil and whatever. We might speak about that in a few moments. That's one thing. But Chazal and Bereishis Rabbah say something else. And really, it's Machlokes over there. And the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah Parsha Chav Gimel says that this Nama, Achos Tovel Kain Nama, why is she mentioned? What's so significant about her? She was the wife of Noach. That's what it says in the Medrash. She was the wife of Noach. Then the other Medrash says, then the Medrash brings another opinion and says, no, she wasn't the wife of Noach. Really, Noach was married to somebody else who was named Nama. Right?
Uh-huh. Same name,
different person.
So it's not a Machlokes.
Well, no, right. So it's like this. Like there's the way the Mefarshim say that Seder Duras also says like this. That actually, it's a Haggah in Sefer Yashar says that everyone agrees that there's some sort of, I guess there's some sort of Kabbalah in Chazal that the wife of Noach was named Nama. That was her name. The Shaila is, was this the same Nama or not the same Nama? Was this the Nama who was a descendant of Cain or a different Nama who, let's say, wasn't a descendant of Cain? Sefer Yashar says, the Radal brings the Sefer Yashar says that Noach's wife was named Nama Bas Mesushalach. I'm pretty sure that it says Nama Bas Chanoich, because it doesn't, whatever. I'm pretty sure it says Nama Bas Chanoich. But, what? Nama Bas Lamech, that would make, no, different, no, being the one that Noach was, if Noach didn't marry the Nama who was a descendant of Cain, she married someone who was a descendant of, a daughter of Mesushalach or Chanoich or something like that. She didn't marry, I'm pretty sure it says Chanoich, not Mesushalach, so I think it's a mistake in the Radal. But, yeah, so it's a shala if Noach married Nama, the daughter of Lamech, or didn't marry Nama, the daughter of Lamech. So the Radal wants to say that if you learn that Noach married the daughter Nama, the daughter of Lamech, so it comes out that Noach's kids are all descendants of Cain from their mother. Okay? So how could our Medrash say that? Oh, from Sheis Nisyach Sukola Brios, if that's not true because all the Brios are also descendants of Cain from the mother, right? Because you said that all the descendants of Cain were killed in the Mabul, right? And so everyone who survived is from Noach, and Noach is from Sheis. But Noach's wife was from Cain. If you learn that Nama Achos Tovel Cain Nama is the wife of Noach, so Radal says you have to say that our Medrash holds like the opinion that says that the Nama that Noach married wasn't Nama, the daughter of Tovel Cain, the sister of Tovel Cain. It was the other Nama, like we said. The Sefer Yashar says Bas Chanoich. That's what you have to say. And there is such an opinion in the Medrash, we said, because it's a Mochlekes in the Medrash. But I want to tell you, it's Lav Dafka Mochlekes. Because if you look in the Ramban, in Parshas Bereishis, so the Ramban says, he brings the Medrash, Yeshayimim Ishtay Shel Noach Haisa. Achos Tovel Cain Nama says Yesh Amrim that she was the wife of Noach, right? And then it says V'im Cain, says the Ramban, V'im Cain Nisha L'Kain Zecher Ma'at Ba'olam. It comes out that there is some Zecher left of Cain in the world. And then, right, so then, you know, so that would seem that it's at odds with our Medrash, right, which is what the Radal is saying. Then the Ramban says, "V'im noymar." If we're going to say she'ena ha'isha she'ohilid Noach mi'menish leishes bonav, that wasn't the wife that Noach gave birth to his three sons, right? So the Ramban says we can't say that because imkain ein b'setam laskira. So why is the Torah mentioning her? It's not because she married Noach, not even though Noach had a different wife and that was the mother of his kids. No, it has to be that this is the wife of Noach who Noach had his three kids with, and that's why the Torah mentions her. That's what the Ramban says. Says the Ran, Pirush Ran al Torah. I just got the Sefer like a few days ago, so I'm very into it. Says the Ran, no! Noach did have a different wife, and his three sons were descendants of that wife. even though he also married Nama, the sister of Tuval Kayin. And you said, the Ramban said, in Tama Azkira, I'll tell you why I mentioned her, because she was a tzaddikah, so the Torah mentioned her. So if you learn like the Pirush HaRan al HaTorah, so then there's no, you don't have to say that it's a machlekes like the Radal says. The Radal saying it's our Medrash holds that everyone is only the descendant of Shais. Now She'en Kein, the Medrash says that Noach married Nama, the daughter, the sister of Tuval Kayin. That Medrash holds that people are descendants of Shais and also Kayin. And I'm saying no, even that Medrash could hold that everyone's a descendant of Shais, because that's Lav Dafka, the wife that Noach had all his kids with. But let's go weiter. Rabbi Meir Aymer. Rabbi Meir says, Guluye Bisar Erva Hayuchin Duris Shalkayin Hanashim Vehanashim. They were unclothed. The generations of Kayin, the men and the women, would walk around unclothed. Guluye Bisar Erva, says the Radal, even their Bisar Erva wasn't clothed. The whole body wasn't clothed, but even the Bisar Erva wasn't clothed. And the Radal says that it doesn't mean that they didn't have clothing. It means that, because he says in parentheses that, you know, at night or when it was cold, they would wear clothing. He said they would dafka take off their clothing when they're walking around. And he brings the Tanna Beis Eliyahu that says that when they were pushed in big dayhen, umenichen ala oretz, umhelchen arumim b'shuk. They would take off their clothing and leave it on the floor and walk unclothed in the marketplace. They were dafka doing this. Kabehemo. Medrash says like an animal.
Well, they're going four or on two?
What?
They went on two or on four?
Pashas on two. They were just, the point is they didn't wear clothing, just like an animal doesn't wear clothing. And also what's the Targum Innocent also says this. Umetamen b'choznus. And they would defile themselves with all kinds of impure things. Ish be'imoy u'bebitoy u've'eshes ochiv. Each a man with his mother and with his daughter and with the wife of his brother. Bagoloy u'v'rechoyveis. Out in the open on the streets. Be'yetzer haya u'v'machshoveis libam. With the Yetzer Hara and with bad thoughts, Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, "Vayar Hashem ki rabo ruas ha'adam ba'aretz." Hashem saw that the ruas ha'adam, the evil of man, is great in the land. There's a lot of evil among the people in the land. Okay, so this is a continuation of what we were saying. We said that the descendants of Cain are the Rishoyim, the people that are rebelling against Hashem. So this is what they did to rebel against Hashem. They would dafka go around naked, they would dafka defile themselves with all kinds of Yisurim, kol minei arayas. We said, ish bi'imay v'bita v'ish es ochiv. The Radal says that even though usually a person doesn't have a Yetzirah for those things, b'chal, his mother, for his daughter, but still they would go out and dafka try to entice themselves to dafka have a Yetzirah to go do it, because their point wasn't to fulfill their taivas, their point was dafka to rebel against Hashem.
Why is that rebelling against Hashem?
Because why is that rebelling against Hashem? Okay, I wasn't planning on speaking about this part, but I was thinking about that also. Why do they dafka choose this way of rebelling against Hashem? So, no, there definitely were rules, because we know that Hashem gave to Adam Rishon six commandments, right? The Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, except for Avraham Menachai, because he's not allowed to eat meat. But
also that was
B'nai
Noach. This is before Noach.
No, to Adam Rishon. What we call the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach were given to Adam Rishon. Yeah, we're all given to Adam Rishon. Except for Avraham Menachai. The reason why it's called the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach is because it was only set when it got to Noach, that's when it became seven. But the first six were already there from the beginning of time. So the Shaila is, why did they choose this way to rebel against Hashem? So there's a few ways, there's a few places where we see this idea. First of all, we see it in Parshas Balak, that after Balak tried cursing the Jews, right? So it didn't work out for him, right? So he said after Bilam tried cursing the Jews and it didn't work out for him, so Balak said to him like, okay, so what are we gonna do now? So Rashi says, Bilam says, oh, I have an Eitzah for you. It says Elikayhem Seine Zima. I can't find the Rashi, but it's a famous Rashi. Here we go. Rashi in Bamidbar, Sefer Beminor, Parak Chav Dalet, Pasuk Yudalet. It says, L'cha Yotzecha, I'm going to give you Eitzah. Malacha La'aseis, Umahi Ha'Eitzah, what are you going to do, and what's the Eitzah? Elekehem Shel Elu Seine Zimahu. The God of these people, He hates, you know, promiscuity. Right? So the way to get Hashem angry at the Jews is to be, get them to be nichshal in these type of affairs. See, it didn't say that, oh, Hashem hates people on Mechal Shabbos, so try to get them to be Mechal Shabbos. That's not what he said. He said, Hashem hates promiscuity. That dafko is what Hashem hates. So if you're trying to get Hashem angry, you're trying to rebel against Hashem, that's dafko what you would do. And we know that the first mitzvahs that Hashem gave included Arayas. We spoke about that in the beginning of the previous parak. That even when Hashem said the first mitzvah was not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, the first mitzvah really was also included in there. We said that mepri ha'etz Hashem b'secha gan. We said that the gan is ein gan el elosh nekiyah. Mashe b'secha gan is b'secha guf, and it's really talking about Arayas. Right, so all that we see there, that was like the first thing, that was the first commandment. It's like, if you're going to go against Hashem, you go against Mamash, the first thing that he said, and then that's the way of rebelling against him. So you try to get him angry. There's another quote over here that it says in the Medrash that they did it b'yetzer hara uva machshavas libam, with a bad yetzer, with a bad inclination, and with the thoughts of their heart. So what does that mean? So the Radal says a nukuda like this. It says that the Yetzer Hara means that whatever they would see, they would try to do averes with. Like it says in the Gemara in Saita, Ein Yetzer Hara Shalit El Bamash Ein of Rois. So when they're looking at things, they were going to be doing averes with it. And then Bamach Shavas Libam, even when they're not looking at it, which is abnormal because usually you only have a title for something that you look at, even when they weren't looking at it, they dafka put themselves into a situation where they would have a title. Rabbi Leo Meizmer makes another point, a similar idea.
He
says,
even when they're not looking,
they were like mamish, like trying to like mamish rebel and like doing mamish l'shem l'shma. Rabbi Leo Meizmer makes another point. He says, look, if that's the way they walked on the street unclothed, and that's the way everyone was doing it, whatever, so then you, after a while, people are going to lose the taiva because that's normal now, right? You're desensitized to it. So then, what were they being nichshal? What was their avera? They weren't going to be doing. So they're saying no. Even when they were used to it, they were still pushing themselves off to go do averas, because they were trying to fight. That's what it means. B'yetzahara. They were with a bad yetzer, with a bad like creation, like a lashon of yetzer. They were like trying to create the bad in themselves. And this idea is also a similar idea. Is brought in the Ramban and Parshas Netzavim. The Ramban says that a person, the pasuk says in Parshas Netzavim, "Haya b'shama yisdivrei Allah." If a person is going back on, let's say, the curses of Parshas Kisavim, of the Teichacha, so the person is going to hear these curses. V'hisparich b'vav b'leimar, and he's going to give himself a bracha in his heart. He's going to give himself they say in the Yiddish zich pension. He's going to give himself his own bracha. He's going to say, Shalom Yael, it'll be okay for me. Kibushus, Libi Eilech. Wherever my heart goes, wherever my heart wants, that's where I'm going to go. L'man sufaisal rovas atzmeil. In order to have the satisfied supply for the thirsty. So what does that mean, have the satisfied supply for the thirsty? So there's an Indian, in not just talking about Isurim or Barayas or whatever, but Stam, in general, when a person has all kinds of different taivas. So a person might be inclined to think, okay, you know, I have a taiva for like this type of, you know, say a taiva sechila, taiva nashim, taiva, I don't know, whatever, different types of taivas. So a person is like, look, I'll give in to like my taiva sechila, and whatever taivas I have for achila, I'll do it. And then that way, my yetzahar won't bother me about other things, because I'm doing the bad things that I want. Right? So we're going to say that, no, it doesn't work like that. Because what happens is, once you start doing one set of bad things, then the Yetzirah becomes thirsty, and wants more and more and more. As, what's his name said? Someone told to the Gemara. The Gemara says that, Eivor katan yesh ba'adam, masbi'a rav marivoy sova. Right? There's a certain Eivor, meaning a certain idea of a taivas, that if you satisfy it, so then it gets hungry and it wants more. And if you leave it hungry, then it becomes satisfied and it doesn't bother you as much. So says the Ramban, Laman Sefois Harava Satsmea, Lahoisif Hasve Imam Hamisava, Kinevish Savo Tikur Rava, etc. Okay, the Ramban says like that. Kinevish Ha'adam Harava, the soul of a person who is satisfied, She'ainin Mesava, Ledwarim Haroima. A person who's satisfied doesn't have a taiva for things that are bad for it. The nefesh doesn't have a taiva for the. But when he has a ktsas taiva for something, and then he fills that taiva, as Yosef ben Afshe taiva yisera, then he's going to have more of a taiva. And then he's going to be even more thirsty to do that type of taiva for eating more or doing other things more so than he originally had. And then the next step is that he's gonna want to do that even more. Then the next step is that he's gonna want to be mesavel for things that he never even had a taiva for beforehand. And he's gonna come up with new things that he wants to do. An example: kemesavel zimas hanashim ayafas. A person has a taiva for beautiful ladies. Kishiyir shatuf bezimason, when he's steeped in being acting promiscuously with them. Then tavayu taiva tavi'uhu taiva lovei al zachar v'al behema. Then he's gonna have more. He's gonna give himself a taiva to have with a zachar and with a behema, etc. Ukiyetsa b'zeh b'shar taivas. That's the way it works. Oh, the Ramban has ukiyin shizkiru chachamim masbiar rov marivoy sava. Right. So what we're doing was dafka this idea. They were doing more averas, and then doing those more averas would give them more of a taiva to do more averas and worse averas, etc. Then like all downward spiral, and then that was their plan to rebel against Hashem.
So they wanted the mavel, basically.
I don't know what they were thinking. They were just trying to show that, you know, we don't need anybody else. We do what we do, and we do what we want to do. And you told us not to do this. We're dafka gonna do it. It's hard to understand exactly what was their mentality and what was their agenda, but
First of all, what was the motivation?
Right, I'm not sure exactly what the motivation.
Were
sort
they
of
happy?
The motivation was just to show Hashem, like, well, we're in charge of our own lives, I guess.
But why?
I don't know.
There's already small money on there.
No, so I think that in this part, our generation is.
Sounds like
nerds. I think that in this part, our generation is better than the generation of Cain, of the descendants of Cain.
Better.
Is better because in our generation, people aren't doing averes l'shma. They're doing it really because of their taivas. They're not doing it to rebel against Hashem. They don't even know that Hashem exists. B'chol. They're like so removed. Here, these guys are doing it dafka to rebel.
They knew
where Hashem was, and they're dafka not listening to Hashem.
That's why I asked, what's the motivation? Like,
right.
Nowadays, you see it, but just look around. You see the taiva itself is motivation.
But this,
know what it's doing.
But this Ramban, you mama see it in contemporary society. You know, like you have like the '60s with the free love, and then you had like the pornography generation, etc. And then the next generation is like, oh, Mishkav Zachar is acceptable thing, whatever. And then the next generation is going to say like Mishkav Behema is also going to be acceptable. Like that's Mamish the Ramban. It's a progression.
Isn't the Ramban?
What?
The later generations are going to be
out there? Yeah, that's what that's what I read. That first they're going to have Taivas Nashim, and then they're going to be into that, and then they're going to want it more than they wanted it before, and then the kilo they're going to be satisfied from that, and then they're going to want a new Taiva, and then that new Taiva is going to take them to, you know, this paragraph over here. Agav, which we mentioned that they're going to be over averas ish be'imai ubebitoi ubeishes achiv. Man with his mother, with his daughter, and with the wife of his brother. So when we talk about mother, so everyone is masking that a ben noach is not allowed to marry his mother. When you talk about his daughter, so it's really it's machlik, it's in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafnun Ches. Rabbi Meir holds that a man is not allowed to marry, a ben noach is not allowed to marry his daughter. And Rabbi Meir is the person who's talking over here in our Medrash. So he held that Bita is Aser. So that's why he mentioned Bita. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, a ben noach is actually allowed to marry his daughter because you don't have yichus from the father's side. So he, even though she's your daughter, but she's technically not your daughter because the Ben Erech doesn't have yichus from the father. So therefore, she's not really your daughter, and you're really allowed to marry her. And that the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim Perek Tes paskens like this, that a Ben Erech is allowed to marry his own daughter. Eishes Achiv, so the problem with Eishes Achiv is like this, that besides the fact that Goyim don't have yichus from their father, but Goyim also don't have what we call issues. Right? Let's say like there can't be an iser for a Goy to marry two sisters, because the fact that you married one doesn't mean that you can't marry the other, because it's not called by a yid. So when you do kedushin, so kedushin creates something that now that you did kedushin, it can create that you're also to other people. But by a goy, they don't have let's say a kedushin that would make it that now they're considered married, so she could become also to other people. So when let's say when you're talking about ben nayach, so if a ben nayach's brother marries somebody else, right? So marries a lady. So the first brother is not going to be usher to her because she's my brother's wife, because there's no such thing as my brother's wife. There's no isra of a ben nayach marrying eishes achiv. Even if you'll say it's achiv min aim or whatever, but there's no isra of eishes achiv. The only isra ben nayach has is that she's eishes ish. She's married, so you're not allowed to marry someone who's already married, right? But the fact that she's married to your brother, like, the nafkamina is like. By in your vomit, it comes up, right? The Eishes Achiv is Aser if your brother marries a woman and then he dies with kids, or he dies in a situation where there's no Yibum, or he divorces her, whatever, you're not allowed to marry her, even though she's not in Eishes Ish anymore, she's still Eishes Achiv. But by Ben Nayach, if your brother's wife, if your brother marries somebody and then he's dead, or he divorces her or whatever, so she's not married to him anymore, so you're allowed to marry her because there's no Israel of Eishes Achiv. So what's the measure saying here, Eishes Achiv? So the Radal says that you have to understand that when it says Eishes Achiv, it doesn't literally mean your brother's wife, rather it means your fellow's wife, like Eishes Re'ehu, the wife of somebody else. That's what it meant. So they would go out and be mezana with their mother, their daughter, and the wives of other people. Fine. That's that nekuda. So the next part, we would have to look back at the psukim again in Parshas Bereishis before we go weiter. Bereishis Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. You know, I have a chumash over here if you want to look at it. Bereishis Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph. It was when man began to multiply on the face of the world, so they started having daughters. And the Bnei Ha'elihim saw the Bnei Sa'adam. Bnei Ha'elihim saw the Bnei Sa'adam, that they were very good. Pashas means good looking. And they took them as wives from whatever they chose. They forcibly took them and whatever. And then the next pasuk says Hashem got upset and said, you know what? I can't deal with this anymore. I'm going to limit people's lifespans to 120 years. They're not going to be living for hundreds and hundreds of years, so they won't be making so much trouble. And then the next pasuk says Hanefilim ayuvayas bayamim ahim. The Nefilim were in the land at that time. Vegan acharichen, also afterwards. Asher yavoyu bnei ha'lehim al bnei so'odim v'yoldu lehem. When Bnei Halihim would come and have relations with Bnei Adam, and they would give birth to issue, Hema Gibarim Hashem Eilam An Shashem. Those are the Gibarim that are like known and that people know about, the old timer Gibarim. So then the Nephilim, there's some sort of Bnei Halihim that married the Bnei Adam, and then the Nephilim are like their descendants, and the Nephilim are also called Gibarim. And then the next pasuk, we already saw this pasuk in the Medrash. Vayera Hashem ki rabo ra'as adam ba'aretz. Hashem saw that the magnitude of the evil in the world, of man's evil in the world, was very great. V'chol yetzav achshav eslibay rak rak kol yoyim. Everything that they're thinking about in their heart is bad all day. Vayinachem Hashem. Hashem reconsidered ki asas adam ba'aretz, that he made man in the land. Vayisatzav eslibay, and he was sort of sad in his heart, whatever that means. Vayomer Hashem, then Hashem said, I'm going to erase the man that I created from on the face of the world, from man to behemoth, because I'm reconsidering the fact that I created them. And the pasuk ends, and Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem. Sarah is, what's this whole story over here? That there were these Bnei Elihim, and they married, and they saw that the Bnei Sa'adim were good look, were nice, and they married them, and then the Nephilim and Giborim came out from them. What's happening over here? So there's a lot of different explanations, and we'll try to go through some basic ones, and then we'll see the Mahalach that's taken up over here by the Medrash. Rashi famously says that Bnei Elihim are talking about the Sarim and Shaitim, the officers, like the princes, and the judges, like the Chashuv of people. And basically, the way Rashi basically seems to understand it is that there were these people that were very in positions of power, and they were taking advantages of their positions of power to marry people that they wouldn't have otherwise married, just because they were Teves, Haina, and they decided to marry them, and they forcibly took them, and etc. That's the way Rashi understands it. Other Mefarshim understand it that it's talking about the descendants of Cain and the descendants of Hevel marrying into each other. The descendants of Cain and the descendants of Shais, marrying into each other. Really, Cain and Shais shouldn't have married into each other because they're like different, they're different species of human beings, Pashit. This was Bnei Shais or Kidmusik Vitzamai, Bnei Cain were not Vidusma Yatzamai of Hashem. So they're like mamish pashit, like different types of animals. Even it's like sort of like climb in a way. Other mafreshim say that because Cain killed Hevel, and so that would make Shais the goel adam because he was the brother. So you should stay away from the family of the person that like you sort of like you should really take revenge on. So you don't want to marry into that family. That Rabbi Yehuda Chassid I think said that. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said that pshat. Yeah. Other Mefarshim say, Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, and other even Rishonim, I think, have said this already, that because the Bnei Kayin have a klala, Hashem gave them a klala, that that you're going to be cursed, etc. So the Bnei Kayin are cursed, so Hashem didn't really want it that the Bnei Kayin should marry into Bnei Sheis who weren't cursed. That they have the regular bracha that people have. So All these different mafreshim together are basically saying a story that the Bnei Elikim, who are the sons of Shais, married the Bnei Adam, who are the sons of Cain, and they shouldn't have done that, and that brought about bad things in the world. Or, also, some mafreshim said that what it's talking about. Who says this? The Pirush HaTorah L'Torah says that, and the Ramban said that before Enosh started doing Avodah Zarah, so people had like physical strength and they were a lot stronger or whatever, and then afterwards people started getting weaker and weaker. So it says that the stronger people were usually, they were marrying people from their generation, marrying the stronger people, marrying the stronger people, and the weaker people, marrying the weaker people. But then what happened was, the stronger people saw the weaker people and they liked them too, so they started marrying also the weaker people and taking advantage of that. So that was also causing bad things to happen in the world, and that's who these Nephilim and the Giborim are. That's one Mahalach in Chazal. The other Mahalach is like this, that there's a whole story. There's a whole story of Malachim that came up. They were in Shemayim. That we're saying that Hashem should destroy the world. This is brought in Yalkut Shemayni in the name of Medrash Avkir. Yalkut Shemayni Parshas Bereishis. It says that these two malachim, Shem Chazai and Azazel, or Azazel, other midrashim give different names for them, Shem Chazai and Azazel, or Uzzah and Azazel, etc. That they came to Hashem and they said, "Look, you created the world, and these people, Ma'anesh, Kisses, Kareno. Why Hashem, why did you create the world? These people are so bad. If we were there, we would be better off." So Hashem says, "Oh, really? So let's test it out." So Hashem sent them down to the world to act like people and said, "Look, let's see what you would do when you came to the world." And it says in the Medrash that they came down and they saw this beautiful looking woman, human woman, whose name was Istar. If you remind me in a few moments, I'll tell you a little bit about the name Istar. They saw this woman, this girl, or woman named Istar, and they had a taiva for her, and they said to her, they propositioned her, and she said, "I'll only listen to you if you teach me the Imam of Furish, that's how you're able to fly," or whatever. So they taught it to her, and she used that to fly, and she ran away from them. But in the end, you know, these people, these malachim from Shemayim, they went around and they started doing all kinds of averas, and from that were born all kinds of different interesting people, giants, Oig, Melech HaBashan, according to some places in Chazar, descendants to Oig and Sichon and Oig, and other Shadim and giants or whatever came from the union between these malachim and these women, the human women.
She's trying to run away. It sounds like she was on a higher madriga.
She was on a higher madriga. Yeah, the Medrash says that Hashem put her as a constellation, like as a in memory of her. The interesting zach that the Ramban and Chumash has a, when we're talking about a chayis to lakayin Nama. So the Ramban says this Medrash that her name was Nama, but our Medrash it says her name was Istar. And the name Istar is an interesting name, because the name Istar is actually the name of an Avodah Zarah in Babylon, called Ishtar or Istar. It was a Babylonian Avodah, a goddess of fertility and war and whatever, I don't know exactly what, but that was the name of the Avodah Zarah. And it's actually related to what's mentioned in Tanakh as Ashtaris, which was the name of Avodah Zarah in Canaan. Ashtaris is related to Istar in Baal. It's also related to the Greek Aphrodite and the Roman Venus. So it's like all just different names of like the same type of Avodah Zarah, but it's the same name as the name over here in the Medrash. And interestingly, the Gemara in Megillah says that about Esther, it says that Esther was called Esther, really her name was Hadassah, but why is she called Esther? Because of Istar, because of And the Yalkut Shemayim, when it brings this Gemara, it says because of the Koichav Noiga, which is called the Istar. Koichav Noiga is Venus, which is called Istar. So it's saying that the Esther Malka was named after this Avodah, the same name as this Avodah Zarah, which is like Venus or whatever, and it's also the same name as this lady who was able to withstand being propositioned by these malachim. Which is an interesting idea. The Zayar's. Yeah, I don't know. It's one of these. I have to work out that question. I'm also a shtickle bothered by it. It's a good question.
You have to be very stupid to call it your son Nimrod, like people do nowadays.
Yeah.
People are very, very, very. Sorry. Stupid. You don't do it.
But, yeah. Istar. What was I going to say?
Same letters?
The Zohar says...
What? The same letters of Esther?
It's a shayla if you spell it with a taf or with a tes, but basically it's the same. There's also yud, whatever. But it's interesting that the Zohar says that this lady, that there was a lady not from that came Ashmedai and whatever.
Zohar,
so that's like a similar...
The same star.
Yeah.
Star.
Yeah. And by the way, the English word star comes from this.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, it says that. It's Beferish Wikipedia.
Yeah. From this goddess?
Yeah.
Venus being the first star you see.
Yeah. First in the morning
yeah,
star.
That's what I want to get.
Yeah.
Venus. That's where, Venus is a star, right?
And the real shot is, what does this have to do with Lucifer, which is also the name of the morning star, and is also the name in Christian theology, is the name of the devil after he went off the Derech. Before he went off the Derech, I don't know how to put all these things together. And then in Kabbalah there's something called Klipas Noiga, which also might have something to do with Venus. I don't know. I have to speak to people that know more about these things than I do. But there's another version of this Medrash that says this is brought in the Pirush HaMiyuchas of the Rosh on Chumash in Parshas Vayetze. Is it in Parshas Vayetze? In Parshas Bereishis. It says that like this, these angels came over to her and they asked her to listen, to be with them. And then she said to them, I will only be with you if you give me your wings. So it says they took off their wings and they gave their wings to her, and she took the wings and she flew off. The same thing, not Shemuel first, but she took their wings. And it says in Pirush HaRosh HaLeterah, And that's the pshat in Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu was sleeping by Basel and he had a dream with the ladder, and the Melachim going up the ladder. So he said, that's the pshat why the Melachim had to go up the ladder, because they didn't have wings. It's these Melachim.
They're going up and down the ladder.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
So they're going on a long hike.
But what? Yeah. But what, once I'm mentioning this Pirush Rosh HaLakoyah, I have to say over this story. It's a famous story about the Maril.
Says this is the Melachim. This is the I call my first son's called Michoel, and I was checking this it was in this parsha. So he was wearing this parsha or whatever. And was looking for a word, and I found that some fortune called the Melachim Michoel and the Poel or whatever, or the Aaron and Moshe is a different. They never mentioned this. Okay, the Mefarshim and the Chumash, maybe it's a different Mefarshim. They never mentioned that these Melachim are those bad Pirush, Melachim over
here. Yeah, this Sefer has it in the back of here. It's Pirush HaRosh Al HaTorah. It's, by the way, it's not really from the Rosh. It's called Pirush HaRosh, but it's only Miyuchos to the Rosh. It's not really. He didn't really write it. Yaakov. What's his name? Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer, the Rosh Yeshiva of Kaf HaChaim in Yerushalayim, writes this. People call it that it's from the Rosh, but it's not really from the Rosh. It may be from like his base medrash or something like that. Yeah. It's the shtick over here. But once we're mentioning this, I just have to say over this story. I heard this from my Rabbi Lerner. Famous story about the Maril Diskin. There was one time a guy who was a real Am Haaretz, and he was known as an Am Haaretz in Yerushalayim, and he died. And after he died, so his descendants found under his bed, they found hundreds and hundreds of pages of Ksavim that he wrote, Chiddush HaTorah, that this guy wrote on paper. So they were all excited. They said, ah, you see, our father really wasn't Am Haaretz. He was really a big Talmid Chacham. He was just hiding it, etc. So they went to the Maril Diskin and they wanted to ask us for his Haskama because they wanted to print his writings. So the Maril Diskin opens it up. And it's like looking at a random, opens up to a random page. What does it say in the random page? It says like this. There's a kasha. Why did the Malachim have to put up the ladder in Yaakov Avinu's dream? They have wings. So the guy says, ah, nearly, that you have to say that they were baby Malachim and they didn't grow their wings yet. So the Maril Diskin saw this. He said, "Ah, Mamish Bartik, Sisra Tera, we have to keep it hidden. We can't publish it." But my Rebbe says, according to the Pirush HaRosh Al Torah, yeah, you answered that question. But okay, so that's based more or less that's more or less the story brought in the Medrash Avkir and other sources, and that's the Mahalach that Pirkei Rabbi Elazar is going to go with over here. Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says, "Ro'u hamalachim shenaflu mimakom kedushasan min hashamayim as benois kayin mahalchis glios b'sar erva." The malachim that fell down from the holy place in Shemayim saw the daughters of Kayin going out unclothed, umachachalis einehin kazenis, and they would make up their eyes like prostitutes. V'so acharehin v'lokum mehen nashim, and these malachim deviated after these girls. And they took from them wives. And the Radal says they took from them wives. Not that they took these girls as wives, but they took these girls, even though they were wives of other people, and they took them for themselves.
This is something interesting about this stuff. I tried to go back a little bit.
What? So yeah.
It says here that they lo yachlu la'alot ad shematzu sulam she'Yaakov Avinu chalam ve'alu. It was just a dream, man. Come on, you can't, you know, hop up on something or a dream. I don't know. I don't get it.
It's also interesting that all the other angels, they found a ladder. But
they found a ladder. There wasn't
the
his dream.
Angels didn't need a ladder. It's fascinating that Yaakov saw a ladder.
Yeah.
There was a ladder. No.
They found that ladder. The ladder that
he was dreaming of.
He was dreaming of.
Okay. So these ladies were making themselves up nicely or whatever, and then the angels fell for them, and they married them. Even the married ones they took for themselves. Shemar says in the pasuk, "Vayu v'neha lihim as b'nei so adam ki toyves heina," that they were toyves. So the medrash over here is understanding b'nei ha'alehim is talking about these angels, and b'nei so'adam is talking about the b'nei kain that were acting very pressed, and the angels wanted to marry the b'nei kain. And the lesson of the pasuk is ki toyves heina, because they were toyves. The word Tavis, if you look in the Pasuk, it's spelled without Vavs. Right? Ki Tavis Hena without any Vavs. So I found this very interesting Zach. In the Pirshei Rekeach on Megillas Esther, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezayin, the Pirshei Rekeach says that this story happened in the month of Tavis. Ki Tavis Hena is Ki in the month of Tavis. Then that the Gemara says, what?
It's cold.
It's cold. That's the point. No, because the way I understood it is because the Gemara in Megillah says that why was this? It says in the pasuk that Esther was taken to the house of Achashverosh in the month of Tavis. So the Gemara says, why Tafka in the month of Tavis? So the Gemara says, because that's the month that the goof is nana from the warmth of another goof. So maybe that's the pshat over here. I don't know. But stop. There was one more quote I wanted to say. There's a sefer called Imri Noya Malatayra from one of the Rishonim in Parshas Acharemais. So he says that there's an inyan Tafka on Yom Kippur to speak about this story of the Malachim that came down and were Nichshal. Because if the Malachim are going to be Mekatrik against us in Din on Yom Kippur, so we mention this story and say, look, even if the Malachim were in our situation, they would also be Nichshal. So he says that that's Dafka why we talk about this story on Yom Kippur. Why do we talk about Yom Kippur? So he says, because that's the Indian of Suri La'Azazel. Azazel was one of these Malachim that came, according to some Gersois, of Shem Chazai and Azazel. Right. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha Oimer. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha says like this. He says a technical question and a technical answer about this story. Hamalachim Eish Loihatim. Angels are made out of burning fire, a flaming fire. Shneimer says the pasuk Mishartzav Eish Loihat. In Baruch Nafshi it says Mishartzav Eish Loihat. That the Mishartzim of Hashem, the workers of Hashem, the servants of Hashem, are Eish Loihat, a flaming fire. And something that's made out of fire can have engage in relations with someone who's a basar v'dam, and it's not going to burn them. If malachim are made out of fire, so how could they have relations with human people? They would just burn them. So he says, "Elo b'shar shenafel min hashamayim b'mekayim kedushoson koychan v'kayim mazon kivnei adam." When they came down from Shemayim, from their lofty holy place up there, when they came down to earth, so then their koyach and their kaimason, not sure what that means in this context, but their kaimason and their koychan were like people. They were like they existed like in the physical way. Ulavush and gush offer, and their clothing was like a clump of dirt, meaning they were wearing, I guess that would mean like they had like physical skin like we have, like skin made out of offer. Shema says lavash b'sari rima v'gush offer, etc. So that's how they were able to do it. Stam, an interesting zach. Fine. Rabbi Tzadik claimer. Tzadik says mehem neldu ha'nakim hamahalchem b'geiva kaima. These people from these malachim that had relations with the Bnei Kayin, from them came out the giants who would walk with great height. They were very tall. And they would send their hands forth upon all types of stealing and chamas, gezel, chamas, the other ones, gezel and chamases.
What is it, you force a person to sell you something who does not want it? What is it like to say, you have money or your life?
One is right. One is you rob it and you take it.
Black way stealing. One is Italian way stealing.
That shit. That's a tesis in the last tesis on the Amud on the last Amud Aleph in Bava Kama Perek Hakrenis. In Perek Hakrenis, tesis says that the Chamsan Yoiv Dami. Chamsan gives money and the Gazan just takes it without giving money. And Shichus Damim and murder. That's also the Italian way. It says in the pasuk, "Visham ra'inu es anafilim." Right, that's talking about the meraglim. When the meraglim checked out Eretz Yisrael and Parshas Shlach, and they gave the report back, so they said, "Oh, we went to Eretz Yisrael. What did we see there? We saw the nefilim, these tall people." Va'omer, and it says in our context, this is hanefilim hayu ba'aretz. I'm sorry, that pasuk in Parshas Shlach says, "Visham ra'inu es anafilim b'nei ha'anak min anafilim." So you see that the Nephilim are descendants of giants, or the giants. That's one of the things that the Radalia talks about. Are they were giants, or their descendants? The Nephilim means, does the term Nephilim refer to these angels that fell, or does it refer to the descendants of the angels that fell? He says it refers to both. Bikaron, it means the angels that fell, but it also means the descendants of the angels that fell. Yeah. What?
What's the shot that they're so giant? Why is it always talking about them being giants? And the Radlim were like Chagavim, how come they were so big? Why? What's the shot that they would be so big?
Yeah,
I understand is that they weren't normal human beings. That's like, I think like that's the point is that they're not normal human beings. There was like something different about them. They weren't born from like a regular man and wife. They were born from like something else, something supernatural, something different, something weird. And because they were born from something weird, so like they became weird themselves. So like they were extra strong and they were extra tall and extra, because malachim have like milas over people, so they were like somewhat like malachim, but like I don't know, lahavdil or whatever, lahavdil, you know, in Greek mythology, so you have like Hercules, who was like extra strong, but like he was like half a god, not capitalized god, and half human. So like we see, I'm not bringing a riot from them. I'm just saying that this musig was understood by the ancients, and we don't understand it exactly. That something that's half a god and half not a god is going to be a human with like extra strength.
But the Torah is teaching us something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
This is in Greek mythology, and the Konami that there or other inyanim, the Torah wants to tell us that there were Nephilim in those days.
Right.
And then also, when we're coming in there, it's Yisrael, they're still there.
Right, the names, and it gives the names, and Anak, and Achim, and Shemeshai, and Talmai, yeah, I'm not sure.
Significance to the,
what's the, what will be the significance? And we have Oig, and Goliath, and all these different, like, weird people.
People are from Chum, no? The Nephilim are from the Choyer, no? The Bnei Kram, no?
We're saying over here that they're descendants from Cain.
Bruchnis, not the Gashmis. The Gashmis, they all got wiped out in the flood, no?
I don't know. That was based on what we've said. Yeah, that's the pashtus. But we also know that the flood didn't come to Eretz Yisrael. Or the Gemara Nida says that Oig was on the teva, was hanging onto the teva. Sichon could be was born before, born after. I have like three pages about Sichon, like who was Sichon exactly. But yeah, I don't know. Okay, let's go right there. Amar Bishu ben Karcha. Yisrael Nikru B'nei Elikim. Klal Yisrael are called sons of Hashem, sons of God. Grado, the Rabbi Leomi Isber, doesn't have the word Nikru. He just says Yisrael B'nei Elikim. Yisrael are B'nei Elikim. And he says, why doesn't it say the word Nikru? And he makes a whole shtickle term because he doesn't have that word Nikru. But we have the word Nikru, so we read it like that. Shem says in the Pasuk, B'nei Atem Hashem Elikechem. You are sons of Hashem. And I would add at this point that the Medrash is trying to say that Klal Yisrael are called sons of Hashem no matter what they do. We're always called a Yisrael, Aval Peshachata, Yisrael, a Jew, even if he's the worst Avarian, he does Avaris, or he's a Russian, whatever, he's still called B'nai Elikim. The Yid is always called B'nai Elikim. The Hamalachim Nikru B'nai Elikim. And angels are also called B'nai Elikim. Shneamar says, Bran Yachat Kechvei Boiker, V'yoril called B'nai Elikim. All the B'nai Elikim were shaking. But, the Medrash says, the Elu, these people, these malachim that we're speaking about over here, Ad Shahayu Bim Kaim Kedushas and Mashamayim, Nikru B'nei Elikim. As long as they were in their holy place in the Shamayim, they're called B'nei Elikim. Shinema Gam Achrei Kain, Asher Yavoyu B'nei Elikim, that when, in the pasuk that we just read before, that when the B'nei Elikim came, El B'nei Sa'adam, it's going to be El B'nei Sa'adam, right? When they came. So when they're coming, they're called B'nei Elikim because they're coming from the holy place in Shemayim. But the way that, as the Marzu explains, what Rabbi Shimon Koch was trying to say is that, but after they came down and they started being Chayte and they were Nichshal and whatever, they're not called B'nei Elikim anymore. They're called Nephilim now. So what he's basically saying, Rabbi Shimon Koch was trying to point out, is that the term B'nei Elikim and the term Nephilim are referring to the same people. Just one is before they did their veris, and one is after they did their veris.
You mean after the veris, they are
They're called Nephilim. From Hashem, they fell. The fallen angels. Yeah. I mean, whatever, in Christianity, I think it means something else, but this is basically where it comes from. Rabbi Levi Yomer, Rabbi Levi says, when these people give birth to the children, they would be fruitful and multiply like a big sheretz, like a big insect. Shisha b'chol leida v'leida. They would have 6 kids at a time. And ba'ez ha'shah, immediately when they were born, they would stand on their feet, and they would speak in a kodesh, and they would start dancing in front of their parents. The point of the Medrash is that these kids that were being born were not normal human beings. They were like, they were born, they were already standing, and they were speaking Lashon HaKodesh and dancing, like, and they're 6 at a time. We might get to that in a moment, but they weren't normal humans. The same thing as when we're saying that they were giants, like they weren't normal. It wasn't a normal situation. Why Lashon HaKodesh? The Radal says because Pirkei Avot, we're going to see in Perek Chof Dalet, that by the Torah before the Migdal Bavel, so Pirkei Avot understood that everyone spoke Lashon HaKodesh. So even though immediately when they were born, without even learning any language, these creatures, I'll call them creatures, they automatically spoke Lashon HaKodesh. They're not humans. I know what they are. They're fine. The point is that these people, the descendants of Cain, were like really bad people, and they were making a lot of trouble in the world. And it was spreading, you know. Noach says to them, "Shuvu midarecheichem u'maaseichem aroyim. Return from your paths and from your bad evil deeds. Shelo yavoyu aleichem mei mabel v'yachas kol zera bnei adam. So that the waters of a flood won't come upon you and wipe out all the descendants, all the seed of human beings. It's going to destroy all of mankind." Right? And the Medrash says, the Radha brings a Medrash Tana de Be'elio, it says in the Pasuk, Ki Oisra Ra'isi Tzadik Ba'dor HaZeh. So what was the Tzidkus of Noach? It was Be'inyin Dor HaZeh. The Noach was giving them Teichacha, the Dor HaZeh. That was the Tzidkus of Noach. He was always giving them Teichacha, trying to give them Musa, to try to get them to change their ways. He said, look, there's going to be a mob that's going to destroy everyone. So they came up with a Pasa'itza. Yeah? Amulai. So they said to him, "Hare anu mainim atzvenim priya revia. We're gonna withhold ourselves from being mekayim priya revia, from being fruitful and multiplying, so that there won't be any kids around." And we're gonna see in a moment that basically they're saying is like this: We're gonna be able to withstand a mabul because we're giants and whatever, and we can withstand the mabul. If we have kids, so the kids would be destroyed by the mabul. So we're gonna stop ourselves from having kids, and the mabul will come, and nothing will affect us. What did they used to do? When they would come next to with their wives, they would have their seed go out on the ground instead of in their wives, so that they won't continue being new people. The land is being destroyed. That's the beginning of Parshas Noach. They said, if Hashem is going to bring upon us a mabul, and by the way, the Marzu says that it's only because they got to this darga where they're doing a veir of hashchasa zera, that's why there was a mabul. And the Gemara says that anyone, Gemara in Nida, Daf Yud Gimel says that a person who's mashchiz zera is kilu maybe mabul la'olam. That's because of this. Only because they're mashchizar, that's why Hashem brought the mabul. But all their other affairs, as bad as they are, that wasn't enough. But Amru, they said, if Hashem is going to bring upon us the waters of a flood, we're very tall. As much water as Hashem is going to bring to the world, you know, it's not going to reach our neck. I mean, we're really tall, right? Oh, so maybe Hashem is going to bring up the waters from under the ground. So if Hashem is going to bring the waters from the Meit HaHaymais, right? Harei Proses Raglenu, Harei Parses Raglenu, listen, Meit HaHaymais. We're going to take our foot and we're going to stomp the holes of where the water is going to come up from underground and stop the water from coming up and stuff it up, and then it won't affect us. Right? So that's the thing. So us, we won't get affected by the mabul. If we have kids, the kids could be affected because they're smaller or whatever, they didn't grow up yet. So we don't want, so we're not going to have, we're not going to have, so they won't be affected. And us, we won't be affected some because we're so strong and we're so big and nothing can stop us. Mehayu oisin, so what do? Pushin kapis vaglam, vesosmus kol tohimis. They put out their hands, they put out their feet, and they closed up all the corridors that Hashem would bring out water from under the ground. So me'asa kadosh baruch hu, what did Hashem do by the mabul when he was talking going to destroy them in the end? He tiach meis tohimis. He made the meis tohimis boiling. It's boiling hot water. But he shokim es besalam pushin es aron me'alehen. It cooked their skin and it caused their skin to like come off of, peel off of them. Shadama be'es yizorvu nitz be'es yizorvu, at the time where it gets hot, nitz masu, it contracts, and it's also bechumai nidaku b'mekayma, and they would be moved from its place. Al tukru bechumai el b'chamimai, because the Radal says that chumai sounds like a lashon of like cham meaning anger. It says no, it means chamimai meaning heat. When it gets hot, when the hot waters came out from the marble from under the ground, so that started making their skin move off, peel and move into the wrong place, and that's how these giants died in the marble. And he says, the Radal also points out that in Targum Yonasan it says that the rain that came down from the bowl was also boiling hot. So it's like boiling hot water coming from up down and from down up. And he wants to say maybe it's a mochlekes.
The eight that they give, only like it was according to that. There were only like a waters coming from below.
Right. No, they're saying if it's going to be rain, so how much rain is it going to come? It's not going to come enough to our neck. Yeah. And then he said, if it's going to come from the bottom, so we'll just like stomp on the ground, and then the water won't come up anymore. And they didn't realize that Hashem can do whatever he wants and make that it's going to be boiling hot water, and you can't stomp on it. It's going to make their skin peel and whatever. And then that was the end of the people from the door of this door of Cain.
Why didn't Hashem just?
Well, come on, we'll finish.
Have the mabul go over their heads. Why did it have?
Why was the mugbal to Ad Savarin? I don't know. I was wondering the same thing.
They knew it was going to be lower than their.
Maybe they didn't think that Hashem was going to destroy the world. They thought Hashem was just going to destroy people. It's like if the water goes like so high, it's not just going to destroy like all the trees and everything and everything. It's like they thought, I don't know. But that was a mistake. Like the mistake was that they think that Hashem has like certain limitations. They're like, okay, whatever. So I'll deal with those limitations and I'll be better. I'll outsmart him. Could be Yochel. And then they met their end. All right, a good morning.